The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back to Block Party, an Insecure podcast where we dive into the untold stories of Insecure. I'm Issa Rae.
And I'm Prentice Penny. And this episode is sponsored by Gatorade Lower Sugar. And we're going to be diving into season one, episode 8, Broken AF.
Oh my gosh, it's the finale episode.
Man, it gets real.
It gets so real. It was written by me, directed by Melina. Yeah. The gang was back together. And
there's a lot of things that happened in this episode, obviously, right? There's Issa and Lawrence are still broken up.
Yeah, they break up.
Yes.
We established that they have broken it.
She shows up to his job, mad stalkerish.
She's crazy. She's on her Daniel shit for real.
She going through it.
She is. We also have the Malibu, Kelly's birthday celebration.
Malibu.
I think we have a birthday every season.
But you know, I'm going to get into the birthday thing later because okay. I have a question for you about birthdays.
Okay, for sure. And then, of course, Lawrence goes out with his guy.
Yes.
We get to see his group of friends together at once. And Issa and Molly aren't on good terms.
No. And they got to figure out how to get back together.
How to get back to
before
it.
It's too late.
And then we have our infamous ending, but we will get to all of that.
Yo,
rewatching this was fun. Do you have any particular memories from this?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we were filming in Malibu, which was super cold and windy and all the things. It was a little cold on top of that hill thing. Again, first world problems. But I remember there were two things that I remember about that. One being that we were staying out there so late that we rented a house and all the writers came and we spent the night out there filming and we had wine and drinks and it was just a fun time. But one of my favorite scenes is you and Molly driving back home. And because we just filmed it in a parking lot. And so that's the sort of, it's just a light spinning around and the car just being wobbled. And that whole scene, there's so many things that are happening in that scene. One of my favorite moments is when she goes, when she imitates Lawrence and she's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. And you're like, oh, shit.
Actually, I was like, oh, they're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're going to be okay.
Just fine.
Yeah.
Being in Malibu was so much fun. Of course, what you reminded me of was the writer's kind of retreat that we had, the last hurrah. But ending it, like, honestly, this was, the real last scene that we shot was from episode 2, but everybody came together to make this happen. Also thinking about, like, we were finally into editing the show, too. Yeah, there's so many great memories, but generally, like, I'm just excited to get into what we wrote. A lot of things came flooding and looking at it from new eyes. There's a lot of stuff I forgot. And I have some new perspectives. So
that's interesting.
We'll get into this right after the break.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, when did we find out that we were getting renewed, and what was your headspace around this time filming it and up until then?
Well, we found out we were getting renewed when the season was already airing. Yeah. So, like, the good news was I feel like maybe only episode 3 or 4.
Yeah, it was early, yeah.
So it like eased our anxiety, and we knew we were going to be back.
Right.
And headspace-wise, I was actually looking at old pictures during this time and all the pictures we took. Obviously, like, finishing a season and putting our all into it, and also, like, we wrote the show like we weren't going to have a season 2. That was a whole big thing. And so it was really satisfying to have an ending.
Yeah.
An ending that at least people would want more if they liked the show.
Yeah.
Or it was just a cautionary tale.
Of what not
don't
to do.
Cheat on your man. Like, eh, you'll be miserable. But I remember feeling really, like, satisfied with the story that we were telling. Because we put so much thought into it. So much love. So much, like, just general effort that I felt actually confident in the story that we were telling at the end of the day. And being able to, like, actually make it to Malibu, watching all the things that we imagined happen around us, like, the way I wanted it to, you know, was really, really satisfying.
On the page, it doesn't seem like a lot is happening. Because there's, like, it's all relationship talk. But when I watched it again, I was like, we are all over the place. Like, in terms of location-wise. I was like, we are at Chad's house, we're at Lawrence's job, we're at a strip club. I mean, we're just like all over the city in a way that I don't know if we had been around the city like that yet. We certainly did in later seasons, but it felt big for us as a first season show.
For sure.
And I just remember being like, man, we got a lot of mileage out of not that much having to do this in 27 and a half minutes.
Yeah, well, that one was, I looked, I was like, this is
that
longer. It was 32 minutes.
Okay,
30 minutes.
That's right, they did give us more time.
Yeah, I feel like they gave us more time, and I feel like we must have been penny pinching until we got to the finale, because we knew we wanted to go to Malibu, obviously. We had a plan in the writer's room. Like, we knew this is where we wanted to end up generally. Did we discuss any other alternate finale scenarios, even for Molly, even for...
At first, it was going to be Lawrence cleans out his whole thing. And then I was like, nah, he should lead
the best. And I was like, of course. It has to be. I was like, this is such a genius, petty.
And we talked about, is it too petty?
Well, what was petty was him taking the pillow. I'm like, why did he take it? It was, I think we just really wanted to make it clear
that he is no longer.
It was pretty clear. Best Buy would have been alone.
But now the Best Buy shirt lives in infamy. People wear Best Buy shirts now. It's like, that's a Halloween costume.
Does. It's so funny, those moments where when your page hits, when, like, everybody in the room just gets so hype about it, and you get, like, I even get chills thinking about, like, just the conversation of it coming up and us riffing off of each other. So
that's when you know it's something good or at least interesting to talk about.
For sure. Yeah. And especially when it makes you, like, upset. I'm like, ooh.
Lawrence, it's me. I know you hate me right now. I hate me too.
Wow, our girl is down bad.
She is down bad.
Moses Sumney. My gosh, that was.
She wearing his shirt.
She wearing his shirt, the Georgetown shirt.
I just want to smell this nigga.
Maybe it'll make you come
back. Maybe it'll manifest it back.
Yeah, she was down bad. And I had a bit of sympathy for her. But watching this, I just see Melina through and through.
There's so much. Just thinking that.
Like, I was like, okay, the pose by the sink. It felt very like, I want to be able to take a picture of this sadness while also, like, choreographing, you know, this girl's misery. I remember also being really excited to shoot this scene because I love scenes. Because I love scenes with no lines.
You can just, I don't want to work that much.
you can just feel, you know, so.
Well, I'm curious, to that end, when there is no lines, right? Do you remember, like, what you were tapping into in that moment?
I mean, obviously just missing him. Like, I think that it's not hard to, like, tap into that kind of heartbreak of just, like, especially being in that apartment, that set apartment alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, shooting with Jay it always felt so warm. And so to actually not have him there was great.
So I'm curious, like, when you're not there, were you tapping into, like literally missing Jay? What's your process to even approach a scene like that?
The unique thing is being in the writer's room, especially as an actor and actress, it tells you so much. Like, you're just tapped into what what you are supposed to feel, what this character is supposed to feel, because we talked about it in the room so much. And so like it was in me to know this is the feeling. So I think there's so much, there's definitely a big difference between, you know, getting a script and interpreting it yourself and being in the actual room, crafting what these characters are supposed to feel, what they're supposed to be doing.
So obviously we see this clip of her looking sad, but right after this clip, we juxtapose how Lawrence is kind of moved on. So maybe we should see that clip.
Yeah.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
I thought you might need some things while you're staying at Chad's. I brought you some toothpaste, some shaving cream, some panties. I'm just kidding. I didn't need you panties.
I was in a meeting, Nisa.
Sorry. I just needed to see you.
You know, he was pretty no nonsense. And I was like, it's been 3 days. Like, why is the egg still up?
You are tripping in that scene. Like, yo, you like kind of tripping. Like, yo, why you still? Are you still big man?
I get on that for sure. But like.
So he's looking sharp, obviously.
He is.
And Issa pulls a Daniel, popping up at the job, all stalkerish. Were there any specific stories from the writer's room that inspired that or that you were drawing from in this very sad you take?
I think. I mean, we knew that she had to be active in trying to get him back. Like, there's no, she was wronging him. We also wanted to be able to show, like, these are his new digs. He got a good ass job now. The glow up is crazy. Man. He looks great. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Where was this man? But like, even watching it, rewatching it, I was like, oh my God, Meridian. I forgot Meridian made an appearance season one. I thought we like crafted the world in season two, which we did, but it was like, oh my God, she's really in his element. He's doing what he needs to be doing. And here come your big chest, like, fucking, like, going, like, a bit embarrassing him at his job, you know? But, like, I get it. And I thought it was funny that, you know, the Rite Aid, bringing the Rite Aid back. Rite Aid is such a huge part of the dysfunction of their relationship or the makeup of their relationship. And she also makes a too soon joke, just like he did. They're meant to be.
Like, they are. Why couldn't he that scene shows me they both be on the same wavelength. For real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, when I remember being there for that scene and I remember watching it. And it's the first time you see Jay, obviously in the episode before that, he's certainly angry, but it was the first time you had seen him.
This is episode angry seven, Jay.
Hey, this is angry Jay. And I was like, yo, he's on it. It's also, have you ever, I also know this feeling when somebody breaks up with you, you're like, oh, I'm finna get fine.
You got in the gym in 3 days? You got that, what the, but he didn't know she was gonna come up at his job. That was not for her. That was for the job. I feel like
Was like, okay, well, fuck it then. I'm outside now.
I think it's also like, he's so disgusted by her. Visceral, but being able to focus on work, I'm sure, was a welcome reprieve for him. So the fact that she's infringing on that and putting a bad taste at work in his mouth, I'm sure also sent him over. So after this, this is actually what blew me. This is when I actually, I got off of Issa's side for this episode for two moments where I was like, this is like crazy stupid.
Uh-huh.
Her calling Molly.
Oh, yeah.
And like the first ish words that you say is, bitch, you still mad? Like, that's not the type of fight y'all had.
Yes.
You know, it's not, that like actually made me upset where I'm like, why wouldn't you? You knew what you said to her.
Yeah.
You know what she said to you. That is a real, like, y'all had a really fight. It really, and to think that you could, like, gloss over it by joking your way through it was crazy to me.
I think she thought it was, like, broken pussy. Like, it is the same, but Issa does a lot of things in this episode that are, like, let me call back the bit to the thing.
For sure.
Because, like you said, the character was kind of avoided.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's an avoiding of the uncomfortableness in the room, whether that's, you know, texting Daniel back, whether that's owning up to Molly, even asking, like, we still gonna go on a gift?
Yeah.
Going out for the gift?
Bob, Cloud, and Kelly.
That's my favorite part. She like the color on the placemats. It's like, who is Kelly? This is crazy.
But Molly is not with the shits at all.
No.
And I gotta say, throughout this episode, watching Molly, I was like, and Yvonne, she was really in her supervillain bag.
She sure was.
In the best way. I was like, she leaned into
the whole episode.
Just toxic Molly. I was like, I want to see her play a supervillain because she was on it.
How did we decide on Malibu for the girls' location?
Being cheap. we knew we couldn't afford to go to a destination, and Malibu felt like the next best thing. And I think it was twofold. Like, we justified Malibu by saying, oh, it has to be someone's birthday. Because I remember us going back in to add, like, oh, let's make it so that we're planting that Kelly's birthday trip is coming up in later episodes.
That's right. That's right. So it wasn't just so random.
Yeah. So it wasn't random and it didn't come up. So, like, I'll remember those specific lines where I was like, oh, okay, that was in the kind of rewrite of it.
Well, speaking of birthdays, I mean, one of the things that we do in our show a lot is we have a lot of connections to birthdays in multiple seasons. And certainly this season starts on a birthday and kind of ends on a birthday, right? Do birthdays play a big part in your friends' lives or in your own life or your family's life?
Birthdays are always just an excuse to gather. Mm-hmm. Like, when you can't, especially when you're older and you're outside of the construct of like school. Yeah. And even if you work together, like, it's the only excuse you have to like see your friends constantly. Mm-hmm. And I think also as writers, and I've seen birthdays appear in almost every pilot in some way.
Yeah.
And in a show. Because it's also just a convenient way to gather people and gather people that you don't normally see together. And some shit always goes down at a birthday sometimes. Like, the realest conversations can happen at a birthday, especially when alcohol is involved. Like, I think even in my own friend group,
You guys celebrate each other a lot.
Yeah, we do. We're fortunate like that. And like, everybody, nobody cares about their birthday, but we care about getting together, you know? Yeah. And we all have memories at each other's birthday. It's something that's like significant in a minor way, significant in a major way, but it's fun to write those things.
But it also is, I think, when I think about birthdays, there's a lot of expectations sometimes. For sure. Even people act like there is no expectation, there is an expectation.
You're thinking about your age and you're approaching mortality. Like, you're getting older and older, and especially when you have, like, when you attribute a numerical value to like your goals, if you're like, oh man, I'm 30 and I still haven't done this yet. You know, that's crazy. I thought I'd have a house and be married by now. Like, and those are now, like, turning 30, I'm like, I don't need nobody's house. What am I doing? I'm not ready for that. I'm still a girl, you know? But yeah, it's just, I feel like it's a great device.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite birthday celebration you've had of your birthdays, of your very few birthdays?
I celebrated my birthday on the show a lot. And I honestly, any birthday that I had during Insecure, I felt like I always had a party. I don't think I had a yacht party because my birthday was in January.
Yeah.
So nothing special. My favorite parties were the yacht parties when everybody would come.
Like,
we started that season, the beginning of season two, right before season two premiered, and it became a tradition. But generally, I'm lucky to share my birthday with my best friend. And so it is always like an occasion to link up. Yeah. Shout out to Matt. What about you? I feel like you're so anti, and you're over the holidays, kind of.
Yeah, mine is in December 1st, and so there's a lot between Thanksgiving. Our family has a lot of birthdays. Like, my son's birthday is in December, my wife's birthday is in December, Christmas is in December. So there's a lot between Thanksgiving and her birthday and New Year that's, like, a lot. But the most recent birthday I took was for 50th going to Egypt. Like, that was, like, that was amazing. And so having, like, all my friends there, my family there, my kids there, seeing, like, where we come from, it was just, it was life changing. I remember I came back and be like, white people better not tell me shit. I seen it. I
remember you planning that. I want to say you planned that like 4 years in advance.
It was 3 years of planning. Wow. It was 3 years of planning.
Which I guess you have to if you wanted to, like, you know, make sure that a lot of your friends with families came.
100%. Because, you know, with niggas, you got to, like, but hey, man, 3 years from now.
Yeah.
You can't just break Egypt on niggas. Right.
Don't.
Yeah. Don't plan nothing for this. So, but it was great. But generally, birthdays, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Obviously, speaking of birthdays, it's Kelly's birthday in the show. And the girls go out to the club. They have a whole weekend plan, and she tells the group she's bringing back the game We Did Say. Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember how we came up with this game? Because you're a big game
person. I'm a game person all day. I'm always the one in my friend group like, let's play a game where we tell each other's business because I want to know your business. But We Did Say was actually, it came from my real friend group, and it came from like this whole summer that we had where we were like,
wait, you said
a whole summer. It was our whole summer, and we were just like, we're gonna be open-minded about like who we mess with.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, we have types, throw that shit out the window, whoever they are. And it's like, anytime that we would try to renege, literally. Anytime we'd be like, oh, he's a little too broke or he's too ugly, we'd be like, we did say.
Really? That's where that came from? That was where
it came from. I feel like I told that story in the room, and then we changed it more into like, this is our dare.
Yeah.
But we did say is also like, Molly's on her whole shit. So she it was like, we blended those stories.
Yeah. Now what, I'm curious, what constitutes deciding to have a hoe summer?
It was just, we were outside. We all felt good. We were
all
like,
single, obviously.
We were all single. And it was the first time I had like my apartment. This was,
okay.
This was in college. And it was like, I want to say our senior year of college or maybe going into senior year. And so I had my own spot. We just felt grown. Mm-hmm. And we would usually go home for school.
That is when you start feeling that grown, like you got your little apartment. Just, yeah.
You're like, I'm like, oh, okay, this the nigga spot. You know, like this is it. And it was just, it was so, so fun. And you know, you do it for the stories. You do it for the plot.
Of course.
For all that. And like we said, we weren't going to judge each other, but we were definitely judging each other.
Can I ask a question? Maybe this should be for the Patreon. who was your most, who was your untraditional nigga that?
Disgusting.
Was he broke?
We didn't know. It wasn't okay, even he wasn't that. Broke. He was okay. Too romantic and sentimental, and it was like I actually wrote about this. I just wasn't into that.
What did he do that was too romantic?
I will tell you. We went on this date, and he was just so like somebody who like oozes love, and I was like, nigga, it's a date, and this is my whole summer. I'm not trying to do all that. And I remember, like,
if I met you a week ago, maybe, but now, no.
And it's also attraction. I wasn't attracted to him that way, and I discovered that. And then as soon as I got home, I was like, oh, God, I can't. And then he called me. And he was like, I was like, hello? He was like, come outside. And I was like, no. No, I'm not coming outside. And he was like, well, look out the window. And I was like,
oh, no.
Okay. I'm looking out. And he was like, look at the moon.
Shut up. Shut up.
I almost threw up. I said, my pussy dried up like a raisin in the sun. I was so disgusted. It was so disgusting.
Why did we not put look at the moon in the show? Why did we not put some nigga saying look at the moon?
Look at the moon. Look at the moon. And look at what? Like, please.
For why?
So that was like, I think that was, I didn't go on any more dates.
You said like, whole summer over.
Yeah, no thank you. We're
that is, I don't know if we should have definitely had a nigga say look at the moon. I don't think you definitely did share a nigga say look at the moon. Go outside. We looking at the same moon, girl. Look at that. Ugh. So, something that's obviously great in this episode is Natasha Rothwell. Just funny ass jokes. Obviously, her, you know, you ever seen someone scream themselves awake is a great one. Y'all know I wish
for Dick. Y'all know I wish for Dick. That was a take where we actually all laughed. Like, that was a genuine laugh because she just obviously improv'd that. But it was funny just seeing us all crack up at that. Genuinely funny line. Yeah. Also, shut up. When she tells us to say happy birthday, and it's like, shut up. That was also genuine laughter.
Did you? So one of the things that happens that I don't remember if it was scripted, maybe tell me if it was scripted or not, is when you say, do you hear yourself? It's like, yeah, I got a podcast.
No, she improv that too.
And we made her have a podcast.
That's right.
We made her have a podcast. Because I was like, was that in the script? And I was like, but we delivered on, what is she talking about in her podcast?
That was another line that I broke on. We had to craft, like, we had to.
I remember you laughed really hard on the podcast.
For sure. But yeah, we called back to that. She had Pernice Preguntas.
Pernice
Preguntas. I was also thinking about, like, Kelly's trajectory. She didn't start off financially responsible.
No, she definitely like broke at that. I need that check. Don't cash that check.
Like even in that conversation they're having at the bar, she doesn't feel financially responsible at all. And then she, you know, then we made her like an accountant. She could hold that over Issa. So shout out to Kelly. Like also post her birthday, I think.
Post her birthday, maybe she got it together. I also think people sometimes just because they do the thing doesn't make them the best at that thing either, too. So I think it's a fun thing. Of that, but she has so many when she can't swallow anything.
Yeah, that was another thing. I could see myself laughing when, why are you always missing your mouth? I don't know. No. I'm like, okay, my head is clearly laughing in that take, but
I love
it
that.
Was worth it. She also felt like the most comfortable to do whatever. It's especially given the permission that this is her birthday. We were all in her world at that point.
Also, if you could imagine seeing the things that happen, like when she says, I woke up in my underwear, face down. I what happened?
I left because she was disappointed that she still had her drawers on. Yes. I was like, what? Did you want him to take advantage of you? You idiot.
That's what I said. When she said that, I said, yo, this is wild. I was like, when Kelly woke up, she's like, oh, man. It's going on the podcast. White people don't want to fuck.
Also, she is a woman who says draws.
Yeah.
Like, draws still on. Like, all right, girl, I learned so much about you just there.
That's hilarious. So, Molly is obviously, you said, she's in her villain mode mm-hmm. this whole episode, because we did say. And she turns up the heat with the young dude from the club, and Issa tries to look out. And Molly's like, it's not like I'm trying to keep a nigga, which is, oof. Why do we need Molly to take Petty to this level?
I think Molly, we always discuss this, but she isn't self-aware when it comes to relationships. And she also, I think she internalizes feedback. And that's even something that she gets to. It's just like, I don't want to be who everybody says I am.
Yeah.
And like, if this is who you think I am and you hate me for it, then I'm going to make you hate me for it. Like, right. She is very much like, okay, you said this. I was watching this, I was watching this reel of someone posted where it's like, the people who don't know how to apologize or take accountability, like they'll say, oh, that really hurt me. Okay, so I just hurt you all the time. Right. Like, okay, so, and it was just so on point. I was like, I know who this type of person is. Well, how do you think that made me feel if you was hurt? Like, they can't accept.
Just can't just sit in the thing.
Like, this is my feelings. It's not an indictment against you. It's just like, I want you to know that you hurt me. I still love you. I'm not blaming you for it, but I want you to acknowledge it and understand it. And there's some people who just can't do that.
Do you think she's do you think she's confrontational, or do you think she's not passive aggressive? Like, what would you call that kind of that moment where she's doing right there?
Both. I feel like there's an aggressive passive aggressive.
Definitely aggressive. Like, aggressive passive aggressive is great.
Yeah, I think that she is very, and she doesn't have a problem being confrontational, but I think that relationship with Issa is obviously special to her, and there is a way to approach it. I don't think either of them don't want to be friends with each other, but like at this stage of their relationship, and I guess even later, it's hard for them to like talk, like dig beneath the surface and really like acknowledge their core issues. And they don't really dig beneath the surface until later in the series.
Yeah, and I think it's like when you talk to your friend, are you talking to prove a point, or are you talking in love because it's helpful, and the timing of that moment, right? Yeah. Like, because there's things you could say in different moments that will be heard totally different than we're going back and forth. And now the aim is to hurt you, not the aim to solve the thing. And I feel like Issa and Marley in episode 7 got into a thing of being hurtful and not being helpful. And for you definitely feel that in that scene where they're in the bar, in the club, where they just can't say the thing yet.
Yeah, it's just that you're not hurting nobody but yourself either, girl. Like, you didn't want to fuck that dude. Like, he was a young dude. Did you really want him? Was it great? Was it worth it?
No.
Who knows?
No.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So what? You really done with old girl? Y'all got history, man.
Oh, if you was me, because you'd just be like, hey, you fucked another nigga, but it's all right.
The hell the fuck, though? Shit, I almost punched a dude at Whole Foods the other day because he asked Leah if she wanted him to double bag it. But you're a different type of dude than me.
In what way?
My heart pumps cold. And you an R&B singing all your feelings type nigga. That's cool. That's you. I love you for that.
This is one of my favorite scenes.
I love this scene.
You know, we get to see Chad and Lawrence actually talking about their situation. Lawrence talking about, you know, almost proposing to Issa, or almost getting a ring for Issa, and Chad actually venting about Leah and getting excited about getting married.
Yeah, I'm actually getting married.
I know whether that's true or not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we didn't have a moment after this where I look at it almost like a mirror to episode two when like Lawrence is hurt that Issa didn't come home that night and he calls Chad, right? And Chad's a little bit like, oh yeah, whatever. And so now we're seeing more of a real conversation between these guys. And I feel like, you know, you don't always see men talk about how they're hurting in a certain way, right? And so obviously, you know, Lawrence, I think about the scenes that aren't there, right? Which is the moment Lawrence even called Chad to be like, can I kick it there? Even to have to say, she cheated on me. Even to, there's a lot of things that we didn't say that, you know, got unpacked in this moment. So like, it's a small thing in the scene, but when Lawrence admits that he bought a ring for her and Chad goes, fuck, everything, there's so many things being said there that are that are just those two lines that are just about like, oh, now look, like Chad really saw, oh, you was really building a future with this woman, girl. With a girl. And so that just disrupted all of that. And he knows the type of guy he is. He's known him since college. And so there's a lot of things that I feel like guys don't have to say that are all understood in our history and subtext. Yeah. And I feel like that's what you're saying there. Like even him being like, I think he would like, cause you said he's coming for him. I actually think he's reminding Lawrence of, in Chad's way, of who he actually is. He's like, I'm like this. My heart pumps cold. You are R&B. And obviously it's through a joke, but he's kind of saying you're a different guy. And like, he's like, I love you for that. Like, and I think there's something with Lawrence that feels, which I think a lot of men got affected by watching the scene about the cheating is like, he opened his heart to Issa or has his heart to Issa, it's broken. Mm. And I think that he's reminding him like, yeah, but this is who you are. And that's just what you are. And that's nothing wrong with that. And I think Lawrence feels he got played. And obviously there's the obvious ways he got played, but feeling like this is like, you're not rewarded for opening your heart to someone. And obviously we can talk about the ebbs and flow of that. But I think there's lots of moments Lawrence in the series is trying to always, not always, but is definitely sometimes running from the man he actually is. And we see that in season two as well, right? Of like, oh, am I this nigga that's built for the street or not? And I think Lawrence has to come to the realization of this is just who I am. And I remember having to go through that my own experience of like, you know, it's little ways when you're growing up. It's like, I'm not going to be tall. I'm not going to be light skinned. I'm not going to have green eyes. Like whatever the hot shit is that girls like in that moment, you're always looking at what you're not.
Yeah.
And once I recognize like, hey, I'm a nigga, like we talked about Jadena. Yeah. I was like, I got jokes. I'm a nigga that's going to have jokes. And so I'm going to just lean to being the best nigga that's like a nice dude that got jokes. And that's going to work. That'll have to work for me, right? And I think Lawrence is feeling hurt that the Lawrence he is didn't work. And almost like, now I have to be this other. And the way Molly's like, so I just think like I love that scene because there's so many things I think are happening with men relationships.
I love the way you distilled it. I think that was so well said, like just in terms of his own journey and like, you can see like I don't want to be this type of dude anymore. Yeah. Let's go to savage mode. Yes. I'm going to try to be like you, nigga. Like, this is not getting me anywhere, so fuck it. Like, let me try not to be this dude. And maybe this is the first time I'm trying not to be this dude.
Yeah.
Do you remember having the conversation around like the smoking weed that we in the room?
Yeah, we talked about that for a long time. I think we were trying to be aware that like, are we saying we're this kind of show or not this kind of show? And I think where we felt was like, it happens.
And it doesn't have to be a plot point. It doesn't have to lead. Sometimes it's like, yeah, black people smoke weed. We smoke weed and we're not criminals. We're not, you know, it's not like shit can get crazy or whatever, but this is just literally a pastime and it's casual. And it was just cool to be able to show friends like venting and smoking and no consequence. Like the police don't pull up.
That's
on
what I.
Like,
you're right. You're right. It's like, hide the weed. Hide the weed.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, everything's fine. I don't know if even during this time. No, I don't think weed had even been.
I don't know if it was legal.
I don't think it was legal in California. The license or whatever you had to have. But yeah, I distinctly remember that being a conversation about like how we show drugs in the show and how we show weed. And initially you're like, let's just stay away from it. But this felt like an appropriate time for it to just be casually.
I think we were responsible in terms of like, this is a grown up show. These people are grown ups and you know, they're 29, 30 years old.
But so it's also even lame to have that conversation because it feels like you're putting black representation. In a way, on your back.
Well, we had to have that with the condoms too, of like all.
Which we had a condom in episode 5. I was like, we did do this. Condom on the nightstand when Jadena and Molly were, and like you assume that, like I was assume like, okay, we did it. Woo. But season 2, we're like, where were they at? They just fucking in it. It's crazy. We were held to an unfairly high standard.
Yes. So obviously, like Lawrence and the guys, as we talked about, after they leave Chad's house, they go to the strip club to like lick their wounds. Do you remember how we decided on a strip club? And
it feels like what dudes do, what niggas who are heartbroken do. But was that heartbroken do? But is that LA is not a good place for strip clubs.
It's not a strip club city.
I feel like we have Ace of Diamonds, maybe, and.
I don't know about any of those places.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't this your idea?
I don't know. It's so long ago. So long ago, I don't remember. But I definitely feel like it's a place where you can certainly, when you're that age in certain ways too. But the one thing I remember about this scene was, because, you know, we have a lot of talk about like when the girls are discussing like Jared's sexuality or whatever the issues of the day are. And I remember I was talking with, I had a friend who was newly single at the time. And he was like, nigga, you won't believe how it's out here.
I remember.
And
watching I was like, this is a conversation that Prentice has had with his friends that he shared.
And I was like, I talked to a few of them who were single. One was single, not divorced. One was divorced and dating, but both dating. And that dialogue is almost like verbatim. Like my friend who was recently divorced was like, man, 4 or 5 girls send me like naked pictures. Like whatever. It's just like this now. And my other friend who was like, he said, he's the one that says in the scene, like, I asked a girl first date if she sucks dick or not. And I said, you just say that? She said, I say it. And then she got a problem with it. And I know she ain't the one for me. And he was like, and I said, well, and what about the other? He's like, and they do. And I was like, that's wild.
And 10 years later, nothing has changed. Unfortunately, like now it's just like on the apps in that way. Or so I've heard. You know, there's so many complaints about like how so many men have the power now.
Yeah.
They get to wield it how they want to. And there is obviously the internet and all that has made a bigger disconnect between genders.
For sure.
I was so upset. And then also in that scene, we touched on the guys having conversations about cheating and how like the hypocrisy of like my grandma stayed with my
grandma. Yeah, those scenes were real.
Those like were conversations that we had in the room too, where it's like the woman is expected to stay with the man, but if a woman cheats, fuck that. No. The grandfather wouldn't stay with the grandmother if she cheated. What the fuck? That's not how the story goes.
Right, right. Grandpa Joe got a whole second family inside of town. And she stuck it out. She's a real one.
That's what a real one does.
I remember we did those conversations because it was the thing of like, because I feel like I hadn't really seen a young woman cheat on a, you know what I mean? It's so crazy to even think like that because of course, like everybody can cheat, but I just felt you hadn't seen that, at least not with us. And so it was just like, it felt like we were doing something it felt like we were just opening a jar on a thing that people are talking about that like, clearly is happening and clearly a thing, but clearly the niggas didn't think so.
Yeah.
And so watching that scene, I remember when we were writing that scene, doing that scene, it was like, yeah, these are all the things that how certain guys think. And it's another moment of Lawrence romanticizing something out there that isn't him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, but yeah, I just remember that scene being like real lines my friends had said. And I was like, this is wild if this is out there. And that would sound sexy when you just got your heart broke. That would sound like that's popping or I'm out here and that's what's out there. Like that's, you know.
Well, Lawrence almost like got it in with the stripper. If she hadn't said $200 for head, $400 to fuck, which girl, raise your prices. Please. You make that in a we make more than that in a night just shaking your ass. Why would you?
Maybe she was giving him a discount because she liked him or something. Maybe.
Oh, sure. That's what he told himself. Like, oh, yeah, she liked me. So I got it half off. So that made it work. But that was like, I was devastated for him in this moment. Like, you are not this dude.
Yeah. And yeah.
Like, please get out of there. And yeah. That's, of course, when he decides to call Issa.
Absolutely.
Which, I love this phone call because he's so vulnerable. And like, Issa's trying to hold on to. Like, she's like trying not to scare the butterfly.
She away. Is. She, you are definitely like, let me dance however he's saying it. Yeah.
Well, before that, actually, I know we were talking about this top 5 months, but I really want to talk about the hot tub scene, which I also is also one of my favorite scenes. Yes, yes.
So, new Molly chooses for niggas to walk up out of her life. Got it. Go, go, go.
Go.
Kelly, why are you always coming for somebody? Why are you coming at me?
Because you make everything a joke. Like, you're 30 and you fucking act like you're 19.
And bitch, why do you always miss your big ass mouth? I don't know!
Kelly, you are a mess.
No, you are.
I think in every friend group, like, two are closer, uh-huh. You know, in whatever pairs. And so what I love about Kelly and Tiffany, Kelly brings out whatever in Tiffany. Tiffany is always with the shits no matter what Kelly does. Yes. Like, when they're talking about, like, Tiffany just goes along with Kelly. And obviously, Issa and Molly are that duo. So the two of them ganging up on Molly felt so criminal and also hilarious. And they like, spoke their truths. But I love that in that moment, you know, Issa finds a way to stand up for them by also getting into them.
Yeah.
And then exposing, of course, Tiffany. Tiffany's always exposing Issa's shit.
That was wild.
Pretending like I have a man. At least I'm not here pretending like I have a man when I don't.
I was like, yo, that she, and play with the ponytail too is also like petting a cat, like a villain. Like,
I didn't mean to expose you, but I
it's
did.
It's the facts.
It's the facts.
It's the facts. We saw her sitting in the room afterwards. It's the facts.
Yeah, it's the facts.
It's the facts.
Yeah, so obviously that leads to the phone call where Issa has.
Do you remember anything about filming out there that night in terms of like, because it's a lot happening in that hot tub. There's a lot of.
Yvonne said she was cold, but I remember it being cold and she got to stay in the whole time. I was the one
getting in and out.
I remember slipping on the inside. Y'all didn't catch that on camera, but it was a hazard. But generally, I remember it being fun. It felt like we were actually drinking. Yeah. And we were kind of delirious that night. It went a little late. And
were we trying to lean into when Kelly goes in for the, is she just fuck with it? Because we talked about that. We were like, what? I don't remember what that was. I was like, this was always a weird.
Kelly has a girl crush on Tiffany. Yeah. And like, if the opportunity presented itself, if Tiffany was just drunk enough, they would have their little makeout session.
Apparently Derek too. Should I fuck Derek?
She just wanted in on their relationship.
She did.
She would be happy.
On the Dubois.
She would have been happy in a throuple with them.
A trois with the Dubois.
Why does it come to you so quickly?
I don't know.
It's the dad in you. It's the dad.
Somebody said I'm a sad, so I'm gonna have some joke off quick. So then obviously we get to the phone call, which I know like you love, and do you want to speak more about what it was like filming that?
Yeah, this felt again. I got to actually talk to Jay as Lawrence, and he was nowhere near Malibu. I think he was off, maybe driving to an audition or something like he needed to do. So it meant a lot that he took the time out to actually read with me, because normally you just have to read with the assistant director or, you know, somebody else. And I do remember just feeling like I can't scare this butterfly away like that. Like any little ounce that I can get, he's calling me, he's coming to me. Maybe there is a chance to salvage this. And, you know, especially coming off the heels of having to pretend in front of my friends this whole weekend that I'm in this relationship. That felt like, I do remember feeling like tense in talking to him. Like,
I would say, did he perform, give a performance like that?
Yeah, oof. For sure. Yeah. And it was, even on the page, there's not a lot being said. There's so much silence and he's barely saying anything, but he says just enough to give her hope, which, ooh, no one was on the other side of this. I was like, damn. But this is the second time that I got mad at Issa.
Okay.
Because I'm like.
Because she went home?
No, girl, she wanted everybody. She goes downstairs and she Like, Lawrence called, I gotta go. Like, yeah. At Kelly's birthday weekend, you think everybody's gonna get up, everybody's drunk just because your man called and leave with you? Like, that also was crazy to me. And Molly was, you know, I think an amazing friend in that moment.
She definitely was.
And then still stole Tiffany's car, which is crazy.
I forgot she had stolen the car.
So, yeah, in this amazing moment, this is the opportunity. When Issa decides to go home early and see Lawrence, Molly volunteers to go with her. This is when they finally kind of crack what's been wrong with their friendship in this really sweet moment where Molly asks, like, you know, what are you going to say to him when you get there? And, you know, she sees that Issa's stressing and she's like, practice on me, which I think was such a, like, love.
I love that moment.
Yes, practice on me. And then just when you think you can practice on me, I'm going to show you, fuck you, which was like, oh, okay, they're back.
But that's also a callback to episode 2 in the mirror where she's practicing the fight with Lawrence. That's like, we did a lot of little things, I think, were either sometimes intentional and found its way back, sort of unintentional. But it is that thing, like, you practice the conversation.
Now. Yeah, so you can practice on me. And, like, you don't need your mirror, girl. I can be your mirror in this moment, which is
I love that.
You know what you gonna say when you see him?
I don't know.
Practice on me. I'm so sorry.
Fuck you! What the fuck?
Worst case scenario, girl. I'm just trying to keep you woke. All right, try again.
I remember being disappointed that we weren't actually going to be driving.
I remember you were going to be driving.
There's nothing like actually doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing when you're performing in a scene. And so when I was like, somebody's just going to be bouncing the car, we're supposed to have this moment. This is so whack. But, you know, a testament to like the bond that also Yvonne and I built, it was just, it felt like one of the easier scenes to shoot. And, you know, it's so crazy just to be on the other side of it. Like, from a writer's standpoint, it was exciting as fuck to write this ending. It was just being like, oh man, we're about to pull the rug over, play with time, and, you know, like, trick the audience into thinking. But in the rewatch, I was like, I'm the audience.
I'm the audience.
And I don't like that. I don't like that for her. Like, why say we could talk about it and you go leave? So yeah, it was just, it was impactful. And of course, I love those two songs.
So, the song is great.
Kamau and BJ, the Chicago Kid, let out our finale and, you know, Molly being there for her in the end. But like, is there any more you want to say about the decision?
Yeah. So I want to back up a little bit because I'm going to dice. This was the ending that broke the internet. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, because we did a lot about like, what are going to be the things that lead you to believe how time has passed, but not too much. Right. Yeah. So we use the key and Thug Yoda and all the bloods are gone. And the key is there, which is obviously a mislead of he could be in the house. Yep. Right. So, so we knew we had these little things that we could say like, oh, okay, he's been here for a second or whatever. When do you think he made his, because I have a thought about when I think he made his decision to leave. When do you think Lawrence was like, do you think it happened when he's on the phone call with Issa? Like, we should talk? Because we should talk doesn't mean we should talk to get back together. No. Do you think it happened on the drive? Do you think it happened when he walked in?
I think it happened as soon as he walked in. Mm-hmm. As soon as he looked at that apartment and, like, he left after that night. So, like, that's the room. I think as soon as he got to the living room, he sat there for a minute. He stood there for a minute. He remembered the fight. He remembered all that he had done. He remembered the betrayal. And he was like, nah, fuck it. I'm a packing my shit and I'm out.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think he was on the fence, even when he said we should talk, that he was, because there's a part of him that, because the only thing he says in that phone call is, I miss you, which is fair. It doesn't mean I miss you to be back together, though.
But in that realization that I miss you, like, even the phone call itself was like, I don't want to be in this world. I don't want to be in this world for where girls are charging me $200 for hair.
No, I definitely think that.
That, and I do miss this. Like, let me just see what's going on. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I think even hearing her voice on that phone call was like, okay, like, I miss you. You're really trying. And I've been mad for so long. Maybe there is room to talk and get to the bottom of it.
I think hearing the voice, I think, softened it. But I wonder if he was like, I'm not trying to be no R&B nigga. Like, almost like, like, I can't, because I do agree. I think when he walks in and he looks over to the couch, and that's where it all went down. The couch obviously has a lot of significance in our show. And I think that's where he was like, nah, I'm out with this.
Yeah.
But then savagely calls Tasha. It's like, I'm about to roll through.
I mean, ring.
Cause I didn't really do the math of that. I was like, yo, he came back and was like, I'm going to Tasha's house. I'm about to hit something. I got to smash something.
And she was like, you can smash this. It's open.
Because I mean, they ain't really talked
like,
since the...
Like, have some self-respect, sis. Like, you came in for batteries and he legged you to the front. You know what I'm saying? Now you're like...
Now you bent over.
Please.
Arched up. Jay was... I mean, not Jay. Lawrence was going to work. Lawrence was like, I'm about to get all this.
Yeah, we all saw it. Yeah.
My heart pumps cold. Yeah. My heart pumps cold.
All right.
So, and obviously we see you and her on the couch. We talked earlier about like things you look back and laugh at. Would you now seeing that, do you feel like that was ever a thing y'all could joke about? Like, remember you was crying on that couch?
It was such a visceral cry. I remember even shooting that scene. Like, I have to be away from Yvonne because Yvonne is like a natural like nurturer, so she would want to make you feel better, and you have to do multiple takes of it, so you still have to be in it. And I remember like sobbing on the side and then having to come back and sit in the take and her just being like, you good girl, you gonna be all right, like trying to talk to you to see. And I'm like, girl, no, I'm like, please let me be sad.
So the love story of the core of our show, as you and I have talked about, has always been Issa and Molly. What's the best lesson that season one Molly and Issa taught you about friendship?
Oh, what a great question. I mean, that friendship is unconditional, honestly. Like, that it's no matter what you might be going through, like sometimes being there for your friend can like trump all of that, trump all the drama. It really is just about like being an emotional support system in so many ways.
I mean, you always talked about them, that you didn't want them to be frenemies, that they were always just friends. Because obviously it's based on a real friend of yours. Was there a certain way after the season was over that were there any conversations you guys had? Not even about like the character, but just like things that came up about friendship dynamics that you guys that were like, oh, we actually like talked about that, or you used that in the show in a way that like opened up anything new for you guys, it's just own relationship to in any way.
No, I think for season one, I was more like, you know, I'm gonna talk about how you are with niggas. Like,
right.
And I think that there were those conversations,
sure.
And even her like telling me or sometimes texting me after an episode, like, Molly was out here. Am I like, for real? Did I do that? I was like, girl, I took that from this situation. So like there was just, I think it was a mirror to her in a certain way. And she embraced it. She laughed at it. She judged, you know, Molly. But yeah, for season one, I think she was just entertained and along for the ride and could separate herself.
So y'all know at the end of each episode, we have to do some reflection, a little segment called Then and Now. And looking back at what we did then, what we got right, and what we got wrong.
Well, you masterminded this entire ending. And like, I'm curious, just the Lawrence Hive was born after this. What do you remember specifically?
My sons. I knew it would hit because I was like, if I saw that in our show, I would be like, that's cool. Again, most of our show was like obviously about this woman, these two women's friendship. And so you're trying to just weave in other things about men as the space allows for it. So, I mean, I feel like that ending is
Do you remember that video? The video of the guys celebrating?
Yes.
I just got chills, but like,
I forgot about that.
Circulate, and they were just like, it was like they won the champion. It was like the Knicks.
It was. I remember we talked about that. Like they won a championship.
They were in a group watching it, and as soon as that came on, like they had recorded themselves, like, yeah, like hugging each other. I was like, niggas are sick.
It's also I love the ending. I stand on it. I would do it 100 times. But it also doesn't take anything into account about, well, he just called Tasha out of nowhere and she just did it.
No, they
like,
were
they was like, no. Nah, don't matter.
They were like, she got a bad bitch. She a bad bitch right now. Yeah.
Don't matter. Yeah. She smashed first day, nigga. RB, nigga.
Yeah, but it was like, it was incredible to see that. I talk about that all the time, but like logging on to Twitter the next day, you know, I always have to search the hashtag just to see like, oh, people talking about the show. And then coming on my home screen and seeing Issa Lawrence, just like unprovoked and people having opinions, and it was incredible.
One of the best things I knew how it held up in a certain way is my son started watching the show this year, and I didn't tell him anything that was coming. And because he's 18 now, he's graduating high school. And so when the finale was over, he ran into the living room and was like, yo, that's crazy. And I was like, it still holds up there.
He probably ran before Issa was crying about
the oh, I'm sure. I'm sure
he left my finale.
Yeah. He's like, she was on the couch?
It really was just a moment of like triumph for dudes. So this way, you gave them that.
Well, y'all welcome. As a man, you're welcome. So what do you think we got right with the finale?
I think it was crafted. Like we said, we knew the story that we wanted to tell. Like, it felt satisfying to be sure about an ending. And that doesn't always happen. You don't always get that when you're writing something. You're just like, I don't know, it might fuck with it. But like, to be confident and like, this is a story that we wanted to tell. And we told it, felt great. What would you do differently?
I wonder if I would pull back a little bit on some of the Kelly Tiffany. You need to have them go there, but I wonder if there was a little bit of a different way to get into that a little bit that didn't. It was a little, when I watched it again, I was like, oh, this feels, it feels hurtful a little bit more than playful. Like I would have wanted it to be a little bit more playful that went too far than just like calling out, like, I don't know, something about that.
It started that way, but like, I don't know, the Molly stuff. In looking at it, she did deserve the way she was moving and calling herself New Molly. I thought the way that Kelly introduced it, because it did start off that way.
It does. Like, you're right. It does.
Is anybody gonna act like New Molly not the same as old Molly? Is hilarious.
Yes, it is. It is.
Objectively, and then it got to like, she got too defensive, and
that's fair.
In a friend group, like the moment you get defensive, like that's what opens up. You know,
that's fair.
The real criticism. So I still stand by that. I still think it was mean, but girls can get mean too, especially drunk in a club when another friend is doing the most.
For sure. And you know, I think too, also, you know, we as an audience are armed with more information. Like Tiffany and Kelly don't know Issa and them had a fight that was that pointed. So because I'm watching it now, knowing what they're going through, and they're totally unaware that if I was like, ooh, so that,
I think
that,
the
that's
only
fair.
Like objectively mean line is Tiffany's. At least I'm not here. Like,
I got my whole band and I know. Yeah.
That was mean in a way to expose it, especially if Issa was trying to hide it. But I think
it's the facts.
It is the facts.
It is the facts.
It is the facts.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm getting so worked up reliving this episode all over again.
You know what you need to cool down? Some Gatorade Lower Sugar.
You are so right. Gatorade Lower Sugar hydrates better than water. There's no artificial flavors, sweeteners, or colors. And it tastes so good.
And don't forget the other part. Gatorade Lower Sugar has 75% less sugar and all the electrolytes of regular Gatorade.
Prentice, you are always coming through with the answers. Try Gatorade Lower Sugar today. Now, back to the episode. All right, before we wrap, you know we have to get into our fan segment presented by Gatorade Lower Sugar.
Let's hear what y'all petty people are trying to say.
All right. Our first question comes from @TemptationSeries on IG. What was the hardest truth you had to let Issa face, even if it made the audience uncomfortable? Ooh, if it made the audience uncomfortable? We were big on truths is different than like making the audience uncomfortable because of Issa's decision.
Sure.
Like I would say like they're separate for me.
Okay, well, okay, what are they?
I guess where the audience is uncomfortable is like just like we wanted to lean into Issa's awkwardness. We wanted you to like understands like all her quirks, right. And like no matter if you would approach a situation differently, like having her, having the audience live in those moments of discomfort with her and and awkwardness and stupidity, like I think we revel in that. But I would say the truths part, like were harder for me of just like we're writing a character, you're in a room where it is like a similar to my best friend, like it is a reflection of yourself, and even seeing like, oh, these decisions are mad selfish. These are the decisions I have made. this is the way that she may view herself. Yeah. Even like in like I'm embodying this person, and I've always described it as a younger version of myself, but it was so much closer to where I was in life. I think so. Yeah. I mean, just compared to like an awkward black girl.
Black girl was
ages ago, like in my 20s, my early 20s, and thinking about Insecure, it was just like the gap widened like over time, but like I'd say season one,
it was close-ish.
It was like a year off, maybe like like it was close. It was close enough. So like I know I grew as a person generally, but like the show also was therapy in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you always had such a healthy openness about like things you have done or things your friends have done or mistakes you've made. So I think that just empowered everyone to also say those same things too, right? So I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, one more. At @sticky_V. I wonder what's sticky. But on IG asks, do you think Issa D would have forgiven Lawrence if he was the one who cheated?
I know I wouldn't be interested in that story. I just wouldn't. Like, agree. That story is on every soap opera, every show, every Mary J. Blige song. Like, I'm good. Yeah.
Not every Mary J. Blige song.
What about you?
I just think, I mean, I think from where we started him, I mean, he's like basically not working. It's like, why is this
if
bum
he
nigga
had cheated? Yeah, the show wouldn't exist.
It would be like, why is she even? Why I don't
you're
even want
an idiot
this dude
for
around.
Yeah, with him.
I mean, dudes like that do stuff like that, but I don't think that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But as always, thank you for your questions and keep them coming.
To find exclusive Block Party content and to submit questions to be read live, make sure to follow @HarremMedia on Instagram.
Thank you guys for tuning into Block Party.
Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube and follow @HarremMedia on all platforms, and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And we're not done yet, y'all. Make sure you tune in next week. We will see y'all right here back at the party.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.